All right. Hello, everybody. We are going to be looking at Psalm 97. Psalm 97 today. This psalm starts out, in fact, why don't I read the whole psalm and then we can start talking about it. Psalm 97, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax. And the presence of the Lord at the verse 5. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Hear him, Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. All right, this psalm starts off, the Lord reigns. And in fact, that happens to be the title of this lesson today. The Lord reigns. That's how this psalm starts. And really, there are a few psalms that start out this way. We see it in Psalm 93 and Psalm 99. They start out with this phrase, the Lord reigns. We see the phrase again in Psalm 96 and verse 10. You know, this is easy to overlook while we're reading psalms of this nature, but it's something, as we note in the next couple lines of this verse, it's something that's worth rejoicing over. It's something that is worth being glad about. Why? Why are we glad that the Lord reigns? Well, because it shows us who is in control. Just as we talked about this past Sunday, and Sam mentioned it a little bit today in regard to time and chance happening to us all in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Who is in control? Well, the Lord is. This is the Lord reigning on earth is certainly proof that he is in control. And why that's a good thing is because, well, first, we know him. We know him. When we study God's word, when we study the scriptures, his word, the things that he has told us, we know him. We see how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. So if he is truly reigning on this earth, and he certainly is, then we can surely rejoice. It means that even though we might be going through a rough patch now, some bad things are happening to us, there's a pandemic, he is ultimately in control. There's someone driving the ship. His righteousness, we see in verse 2. His righteousness and justice help us to trust in him. In verse 2, we note that clouds and darkness surround him. He's shrouded in mystery, with the clouds, with these clouds and the darkness here. He is, quite frankly, unknowable if he truly wants to be unknown. But the truth is, he wants us to know him. Did you know that? He wants us to know him. Well, how do I know that? How do I know that he wants us to know him? Well, why else would we have his word? Why else would we have the scriptures, the Bible, God's word? As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, that scripture tells us that God has revealed them, referring to his mysteries, to us through his spirit. And we recognize that it was through his spirit that the scriptures are revealed. Remember, of course, 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is God-breathed, given by inspiration of God. It is inspired through the Holy Spirit. But his goings-on are not, all of his goings-on are not revealed in scripture. Some of them are shrouded in mystery. We don't know why certain things happen. We don't know why there's a pandemic right now, for instance. That kind of thing is shrouded in that kind of mystery, the clouds and the darkness. But what we do know is that his righteousness and his justice are fundamental to his nature. That's what it means in this verse, in verse 2, when it says that they are the foundation of his throne. You know, that can be a very comforting thought, but you know, it could also be a very scary thought. But since we are all worthy of judgment, it should be scary to us. The only reason why it shouldn't be scary is if you are the beneficiary of his grace, the grace of God that was offered by the atoning sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit. Then, and only then, should we find this thought comforting. This is particularly true when we consider that in verse 3, that his fire burns up his enemies. We might recall that being literally true on this earth in the case of the priests, Nadab and Abihu. In Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, they had offered something that God had not commanded, and they paid the ultimate price. Let us not be so careless as to treat the Lord in the way that they did. We must treat him as holy. We must regard him as holy, honoring him in the way that he wants us to honor him. Verses 4 and 5, we saw just a little bit ago that the judgment that he brings and the vindication for the righteous, we saw those things, but his power in verses 4 and 5 is shown to be so great. His lightnings light the world. There are still so many mysteries surrounding thunderstorms and lightning and thunder and things of that nature. And we still don't understand a lot of those things to this day. We understand perhaps more than we did 3,000 years ago when this was written. But man, there's still so much we don't know. But on top of that, there are about 1,800 thunderstorms happening somewhere on the earth at any given moment. So when we read this verse and it says, his lightnings light the world, we can take that to the bank. His lightning does indeed light the world. After lightning strikes, of course, we hear thunder. But not only do we hear that thunder, but if it's nearby, don't you feel it? That rumbling? Isn't that kind of scary a little bit? Certainly my kids think so. Whatever the case, the earth trembles at such a great sound. And this is just a taste of the majesty of God. You see in verse 5 that he is so powerful that the mountains melt like wax. How much time do you think it would take for a mountain to fall? Well, we attribute that to erosion, of course, typically. But imagine how much greater that would be in his presence. Under normal circumstances, erosion, what would take many, many years for a mountain to become a hill, to become a plain. What do you think, what do you suppose happened in the flood of Noah? In the flood so many thousands of years ago? That was a great geologic upheaval that occurred at that time. This is further signs of the judgment of God. Mountains disappeared. Mountains formed. They melted like wax in a candle. His righteousness and glory will be known. This is further proof that he wants to be known. The heavens, part of his creation, created on day four, we see in verse six, created on day four, so wonderful, so magnificent, the stars, the nebulae, the galaxies, how amazing, how glorious. They all declare that God is great and that he reigns. They declare his righteousness. But even they pale in comparison to his glory, to his beauty, to his magnificence. People can certainly see. The people can certainly see the glory of the heavens by looking up, training their telescopes on these wonderful things. Through them, they can see maybe a sliver of God's glory. But through Scripture, we can see, truly see his glory. The rest of the psalm, we're running low on time, so I want to get through this, just because it's so great, so powerful. The rest of the psalm urges us to serve him and not to serve idols, not to serve false gods. Those who are righteous have a cause to rejoice. If you love the Lord, verse 10, hate evil. We are to hate evil. So much evil exists in this world today, does it not? Let us hate what the Lord hates. Here's the beautiful part. In verse 10, he preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. That preservation and deliverance, isn't that something worth rejoicing over? Isn't that something worth thanking God for? This is why we ought to rejoice whenever we remember that the Lord reigns. That preservation, that deliverance can only be had by those who are his followers, who are the sons and daughters of God, the children of God. Does he reign in your life? Do you recognize his sovereignty over you? I encourage you, if you need to become a Christian today, please do so. Take full advantage of his grace. Become a Christian. You got to believe in Jesus. You've got to repent of your sins and confess his name. And finally, you've got to be baptized into Christ. Only then can you truly benefit from his righteousness and his glory. Become a Christian. If you need to make things right with God, you have a chance to do that as well. I encourage you. Instructions will be on the screen in just a second for you to respond to this invitation. So I encourage you, please come forward. Let us know about this as we sing this song.